2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're only going to look at one verse tonight. And that one verse, perhaps many of you know. It's the verse, of course, that tells us this. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I once heard a story that as Dr. H.A. Ironside, some of you might know who H.A. Ironside is. He's an old school commentator. I have all of his books, and he's a really interesting guy because he's just great at bringing the Bible down to the practical level. But as H.A. Ironside was preaching in a certain place, he noticed that a man in the crowd that was listening was busy scribbling away on a little note card. And at the end of the time, he presented the note card to Dr. Ironside. And the man turned out to be this guy named Arthur Lewis, who was an agnostic lecturer back in, you know, the 40s and 50s. And he proposed a challenge to H.A. Ironside to debate the subject of agnosticism versus Christianity. And, you know, the speaker went on and on to try to get Ironside to debate, and he offered to pay all of the expenses that were involved in this debate. And Dr. Ironside sort of read the card aloud to the audience, and then he said, "I accept on these conditions." And so these were the two conditions. And he told Arthur Lewis, and really was just announcing to the crowd, these two things. He said, "First, that you promise to bring with you to the platform one man who was an outcast, a slave to sinful habits, but who heard you or some other lecturer on agnosticism and was so helped by it that he cast away all of his bad behaviors and became a new person. And today is a respected member of society, all because of your philosophy in agnosticism. Second," was his condition as well, "that you agree to bring with you one woman who was once lost to all purity and goodness, but who can now testify that agnosticism came to her while deep in sin and sort of implanted in her heart a hatred of bad things and impure things. A love of holiness came into her heart, causing her to become a different person, all through this disbelief in the Bible." And, you know, he goes on to make these two conditions. And he says, "Now, sir, if you will agree," and this is his response in speaking to Arthur Lewis, he says, "I promise to be there with 100 such men and women, once just lost souls who heard the gospel of the grace of God, believed it, and have found new life and joy in Jesus Christ, the Savior." And he asks Arthur Lewis, "Will you accept my terms?" And as many of you might expect, Arthur Lewis just sort of walked away. Because honestly, people believing in atheism or agnosticism never really does people any good for life change. And Arthur Lewis knew this. See, most people believe in those systems of thought because it sort of rationalizes perhaps their own behaviors and sort of makes them feel good about things they're doing. But yet Christianity is something that radically changes a person. Let me put it to you this way. Not Christianity as a religion, but knowing Christ in a relationship brings rapid change in a person's life. And really, the truth is, knowing Jesus changes a person's life. And that's really the subject matter that we look at as we jump into 2 Corinthians 5:17. There's no other verse like this verse that tells us that we are new creations in our relationship with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And really, in Paul making this statement in verse 17, he gives us three reasons why we should be rejoicing in regeneration. You might be here tonight, you've been saved for a long time. Maybe you haven't been saved that long. But we can always rejoice in the fact that we have been regenerated and are continually being recreated and changed by the Lord. So new Christian, old Christian, either way, this verse has meaning to us. And so the title of this message, Rejoicing in Regeneration. I want you to listen just for a second. Hold your finger there in 2 Corinthians, but listen to what the Bible says. Listen to what Paul wrote in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. I love just the wording here. He says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Isn't that great? But we find the word there, regeneration. Regeneration in the dictionary can be defined as regrowth of an organ, a limb or other tissue that has been injured or shed. You remember when you were a kid and you'd catch the lizards, but they would lose their tail? You know, those grow back. And I would like to just tell you that one way I like to think about myself before I knew Christ is that I was broken and I needed to be fixed. I was dead, but I needed to be made alive. And I needed to be regenerated. And I came to know the Lord September 2nd of 1996, at about 10 o'clock at night. That's when I was regenerated. But it doesn't end there. Maybe you were saved as a young kid, but there's still a work the Lord is doing in your life even today, even tonight. But it's important to be able to get sort of the overall general idea of what Paul is actually talking about when we get to this verse. As you've learned in the past several weeks, I don't intend on just doing eisegesis here. I want to do some exegesis. I want you to get the whole context. We're only going to talk about this one verse because this one verse contains principles and pieces of truth that sort of speak for themselves. So our context. Now in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 5, Paul talks about how our body is sort of a temporary tent. You ever think about your body as just temporary? Some of us more than others. Some of us forget that. Think about our body too much. It's a tent. So Paul sort of is continuing his thought from the end of chapter 4, saying that we don't live for the things that are temporary, but the things that are eternal. It's a perspective. He talks about walking by faith and not by sight, because one day we're going to go and be with Him. And that's something that by faith we believe. He talks about that in verses 5 through 8. He talks about the judgment seat of Christ in verses 9 through 11. The idea that one day every Christian is going to have to stand before Jesus and give an account for all of the things that God has given that believer to be responsible with. That's just plain scary, if you ask me. It's challenging. He talks about being a minister that's motivated by the love of God for others and not by selfish gain. And really, in summary, if we were to think about this chapter, it's the new life to come and the new life that we have now. Now, I want you to just sort of, having read verse 17 already, I want you to just think about verse 18. Because in verse 18, he through the end of the chapter, he seems to focus, and don't miss this, on our responsibility based on the fact that we're regenerated. And let me put it to you this way. The responsibility that comes by being a new creation in our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, we're not saved and that's it. God gives us new life so that not only He can work in us and through us, but He wants us to see the responsibilities and the things that are out there for Him to work in our lives and through our lives and ministering to other people. It's why He goes on to talk about being ministers of reconciliation. Talks about committing us the word of reconciliation. And so there's a responsibility that comes with being regenerated. There's something that God wants us to do with our salvation. And don't get me wrong, I mean, we rejoice. Hey, cool, I know the Lord. But there's so much more than that. I want you to notice chapter 6, verse 1, just as food for thought. Paul says this, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." I love that whole idea of being a worker with God. When we first went to Killeen, and I still pray this all the time, you know, we're in this military town, transitional community, everything's coming and going all the time. Lord, what do you want to do here? You're already doing something. How can we be workers with you in this? But I want you to notice he goes on to say, and this I think is important and makes a good point, not to receive the grace of God in vain. So having said that, we sort of add a little bit of context to this one verse. And so the three things that we see here, we should be rejoicing in regeneration, number one, because we have a new position in Christ. That's in the first part of verse 17. We should also be rejoicing in regeneration because of our new person. And then the third thing that we'll see is that we should be rejoicing in regeneration because we have a new perspective. So look with me just at the first part of chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Perhaps you've read Ephesians chapter 1, and so, you know, you sort of already identify with the fact that there are so many things that we have in Christ. And I'll get to those in a second, but I want you to notice that two-letter word, if. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. See, Paul is sort of pointing at a condition here because if a person is really saved, then these three statements that follow go with that person that is in Christ. In other words, if you are saved, then you are a new creation. If you are saved, then old things have passed away. If you are saved, then all things have become new. If. See, many people are not new creations as Christians because they are not in Christ. Let me put it to you this way. Many times, someone will not have a life change experience in their life because they have not made a life commitment to Christ. They haven't received the gift of salvation. You know, there are many people, let me just illustrate it to you this way. There are many people today that go to churches all over the United States that through just going to church or reading the Bible or singing some songs or even memorizing Bible verses think that that is their salvation. But when they leave the walls of the church, have no personal connection with Jesus Christ. These are the people that Jesus spoke of, where he's going to say, "Depart from me, workers of iniquity, I never knew you." If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. See, I always think of knowing the Lord as a radical, life-changing experience. And that's really what 1 John teaches. It's what the book of James teaches, that knowing Jesus results in a changed life. So it's challenging. Sometimes people say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian." Bungie taught me years ago, never ask someone if they're a Christian. Ask them if they follow Jesus. Ask them if they know the Lord. Not know about him, but know him. Because you get a lot more down to the point when you ask those questions rather than, "Are you a Christian?" "Oh yeah, sure, I'm a member of this church." "Are you a Christian?" "Oh yeah, I read the Bible." And there are many people that think that they're a Christian because of doing those things and don't necessarily know the Lord. So what is the greatest demonstration of our salvation? It's a good question to ask yourself. In other words, what is the greatest demonstration of a person knowing Jesus? I believe it's this, and this is just a side note, but Christians have the love of God being exercised in their lives, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. The greatest evidence for a person being saved is love, not knowledge. Many times people will say, "Because I know all the scriptures and I can quote this verse, chapter, and this or that," that's not the greatest demonstration. The greatest demonstration is loving those who don't love you. Jesus said, if we love those who 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 love us, then don't even the heathens do that? Don't even the people in the world love those who love them? We're called to love those who mess up our fast food order while we are waiting and waiting and waiting. And we finally get it and it's messed up. I'm just kidding. You get the idea. Well, what does it mean to be in Christ? Because he says here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. So what does it mean to be in Christ? I think Ephesians chapter 1 illustrates this, and I would encourage you to write that down and go read it, because there's so much more there. But in Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us that in Christ we have every spiritual blessing. And these are the things that are a part of that. In Christ, we are chosen. In Christ, we have redemption. We have forgiveness in Christ. Many of us have had rough paths. We've had things in our lives that we've felt extremely guilty about. But in Christ, we've found forgiveness in Him. That's an awesome thing. Forgiveness in Christ. We have an inheritance in Christ, according to the first chapter. And we're also sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. There are on and on and on and on we could go in listing the things that we have in Christ. But 1 Corinthians 12:13 tells us this: for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. See, when we become Christians, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of us and we become part of the body of Christ. The church is not a building, it's believers. And when we're in Christ, we become a part of the body and we have a function, a ligament or a blood vessel. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. And so the thing that I want to note is that it says, and notice those two words together, if anyone. I love that, because if we just look at that and sort of isolate that idea, this is a promise for anyone. Anyone who is out there who is willing to receive the Lord can be in Christ. Anybody. And again, these three things, these new creation, old things passing away, things becoming all new, this is a promise for those that are in the Lord, not in the world. Many times people are turning over new leaves and they're doing this or that, but we have great advantages in our relationship with Christ. Our new position in Christ basically means this, as we move to our second point here. It means that we have security, safety, and sanctuary in this life. It's something that we can appropriate all of the time. The world doesn't have that. The world doesn't have security like Christians have security. The world doesn't have safety and sanctuary like Christians have that. The fact that we are in Christ in a relationship with God is a great blessing. And this position is what every person needs. But get this. But thinks they need something else. There are people all around us all the time that, and maybe you notice these people, maybe you were one of those people that was going from one thing to the next. And we could talk about relationships, we could talk about stuff, vehicles, one thing to the next. And, just whatever those idols could be. But the world is looking for something, but the fact is, the Bible tells us it's God that we need. And so this position of being in Him is the answer to that. Being in Christ is the solution for the empty soul. But this position, this new position that we're talking about, is a huge advantage in the predicament of life. What am I talking about? Well, we're designed to have a relationship with God. So when we don't have a relationship with God, there's all kinds of stress that's there because of not knowing the Lord. And even if you're a Christian, when you choose to do things on your own, you create unnecessary stress in your life. And we've all kind of learned the hard way in our Christian lives. Oh, Lord, I should have just talked to you about this before I went ahead and did it. It's a huge advantage. And so we can rejoice in the fact that our regeneration means we have a new position. We're resting in Him. We have safety. We have sanctuary. But the second thing that we come to is that we should rejoice in regeneration also because of our new person. And this is really where we start to get to the good stuff when it comes to being regenerated. We are new people in the Lord, new creations in Christ. God can take some of the, and it's cool because, Dave was talking about going through the harvest book at the men's thing. What a cool book to go through to see how kooky and crazy some of these Calvary Chapel guys were before they knew the Lord. It's not only miraculous that they pastor churches today. I mean, Bungie would be included in that book as well. But it's like, wow, Lord. You can take anybody, no matter how crazy, dark, and just evil and going with the flow of the world, and you can change their life if they will surrender to you. New creations in Christ. I want you to look at that word new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The word new refers to new in terms of freshness. Qualitatively new. It can also mean to be newly made. It also has the idea of new as opposed to old or former. And really, in essence, implying better because it's different. And so Paul here teaches the principle of regeneration, this newness of life in Jesus Christ. And it comes by faith. When a person believes in the Lord, relies upon the Lord is the idea of belief, relies upon Jesus' work on the cross and His resurrection. They are made new. And so Paul's point here in talking about being a new creation is that we're not just forgiven. It doesn't just end there. It doesn't just end in the fact that we've been, had all of the bad stuff that we're going to do, past, present, and future, totally forgiven by God. It's not that we're just forgiven. We are changed into totally new creations. I like to think about being a new creation as being a recreation. God recreates us. Now, I want to just stop you if you're a little bit skeptical of this, because a lot of people think, oh yeah, when that person becomes a Christian, they're going to be like a total weirdo. They're going to talk weird. God doesn't want to recreate our personality. He doesn't want to recreate our style necessarily. He wants to recreate our ways and our actions. We're all created differently. We're all designed differently. We all have different things we like and do. And none of those things are necessarily wrong in and of themselves, most of them. But we're recreated in Christ. That's a very important principle to recognize, because when a person is in Christ and they're a new creation, there's just different things that happen in their life. Many times when a person becomes a Christian, they begin to change the way they talk. Now, they don't start talking really proper, but perhaps, and usually, some of those bad words sort of make their way out of the vocabulary. And other words come in. More descriptive words. More intelligent words. Here's my point. It's really unfair for us to expect those who are not in Christ to live as if they were new creations. In other words, when we become Christians, our lives change, our perspective changes, we'll see here in a minute. But for those around us that don't know the Lord, we can't, as new creations, expect people who are not in Christ to behave like new creations. And what happens to us most of the time as Christians is we can tend to isolate ourselves. I just want to hang out with those that are righteous. And Jesus basically said, hey, if you hide the lamp under the bed, what's the point? If salt loses its flavor, what is it good for? And so the truth is that we need to recognize that people around us who don't know the Lord, well, they're not going to act like us because we're in Christ. We're new creations. We have a relationship with God. And we need to seek to be ministers of reconciliation. That's why Paul goes on to talk about that, is because it's such an important part of understanding that we've been regenerated. Spurgeon said this, "I know no language. I believe there is none that can express a greater or more thorough and more radical renewal than that which is expressed in the term a new creature or new creation." We are new creatures. We are recreated in our relationship with the Lord. And this should be something that is obvious to those around us. People should go, "Wow, what's going on with you? Why aren't you angry like you always were?" I think people were asking for years about Bungie, "Why isn't he beating people up?" I mean, seriously. And he's not here so I can talk about him, but you know, here's a guy that we would go to as kids, "Hey, this frat boy's picking on me, can you take care of him?" "Sure." And all of a sudden this guy's saved and we're just going, "What's going on with this dude?" There were changes. Being a new creation is something that is obvious to those around us. Now, the thing to remember is that being a new creation doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means that we're changed and that we're continuing to be changed. Many times, and there's a lot of false teaching that surrounds this, many people today that believe as Christians they don't sin. Have fun with that one. If we say we have no sin, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's what 1 John says. So as Christians, we definitely have sin, but we want to sin less. See, as I've heard it said, is we're not sinless, but we sin less and less as we grow in our relationship with God. None of us are ever going to be sinless until we go and meet the Lord. If you're taking notes, you can write down Philippians 1:6. And Philippians 2:13, because those two verses tell us this. First, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And in Philippians 2:13, it tells us this, that for it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. We are new creations. And the thing to remember is this, those verses actually answer an important question. Who makes us a new creation? So here's what I want to say to you guys. We need to remember, if we've been Christians for a long time, or even if you're a new Christian right now, it is not us in and of ourselves that brings change to our lives. It's the Lord. Many times we get frustrated because we say, "Why am I not changing? Why am I still yelling at my kids? Why am I still giving my wife a hard time? Why am I still getting mad when I'm stuck in the drive-thru at Whataburger for 10 hours? And you know, we can get so frustrated and we can start to focus on ourselves and be sort of inwardly focused and say, we can sort of get aggravated. And we need to remember, it's the Lord who works in us to will and to do for his good pleasure. But if we're in Christ, we're a new creation, but we're constantly being recreated. We're constantly being changed. And the Lord begins to work inside, outside. But see, there is some responsibility that comes here too, because that's why, and again, some more verses, some more homework for you guys. Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24 basically say this. That's Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. We're told to put off the old man and to put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. See, so there is a choice that we make as to putting away old behaviors and choosing to walk in new. In other words, putting away our sin nature and choosing to feed the Spirit rather than the flesh. That's what Galatians 5 talks about. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. We could phrase it this way. Pray, read the word, feed yourself spiritually so you don't walk around and go, "Flesh man!" And you're mean to those around you, so you don't walk in the flesh all the time. Feed the Spirit. So because we're new people in the Lord, we should take full advantage of several things that I want to just briefly mention, and most of them are elementary to most of us here. Number one, we need to take full advantage of our relationship with God. God wants to change us every day. Not just once every year. He wants to work in us every day. But that sometimes we forget about that. We get caught up in the busyness of life and doing this or that. We don't realize that there's something God wants to teach us every single day. We don't have to stress out about it. Okay, Lord, I'm at school today. You're taking attendance. You're calling roll. Here I am. What do you have for me? The second thing is that we need to take full advantage of the blessing of having new directions or ways that we have in the Word of God. See, God wants to lead us all the time through the direction of His Word. And the third thing that we need to take full advantage of, I think, is the most helpful to remember, is that God has an ability to fashion us in any situation or circumstance. In other words, we become more and more taught, trained, and more conformed to the image of Christ by realizing that God wants to use whatever happens to us to make us more like Jesus. Well, number three, we should rejoice in regeneration. Lastly, because we have a new perspective. Look at what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, I want you to just notice two phrases, old things and all things. Old things have passed away. What are the old things that Paul's talking about? Well, old things refers to original things. And so our original lifestyle will and should be different in a relationship with the Lord. And old things could be all kinds of stuff. Our original things, the things that were associated originally with our lives. Like if you would have met me 15 years ago, my life was all about the four-wheeled God, the skateboard. And that could have defined my life. Old things have passed away. And perhaps drugs, alcohol, many of the things that we did in our lifestyles before we knew the Lord. It could even be religion or being superstitious, and it could go on and on and on. Those things have passed away. Those things no longer have the meaning that they did at that point in time. And usually it's because we're desperately seeking for something that we don't understand, which in fact turns out to be God. And now all things, and I love this because in Christ, all things have become new. And the truth that Paul's pointing out is that as new creatures, we see everything in a new light. See, life becomes new in many different ways. All things have become new. A great example of this in my life was the first time I walked outside and I looked at the sky and I realized that God actually made what I was looking at. And it blew my mind. Because prior to that, 19 years, I had gone and looked at the sky all the time and thought, man, it's hot out here. That's what you do in Texas. It's hot here. I remember looking at it and going, wow, God made that. I think no one was more able to reflect on that transformation than Paul the Apostle, who went from being a Christian killer to being a Christian preacher. That what he had seen before as evil and wrong, now he realized was the truth and that he was wrong. Many times our perspective can radically change. The things that we once enjoyed, we don't enjoy now. And oftentimes that's a sign of being saved. When someone struggles with doing things that they've done for years, that all of a sudden it doesn't seem as it used to be. I think one of the things that changes our perspective is the things we hunger for. You know, a born-again person who knows God has different hungers in their life. And the question becomes, what are we hungering for? What are we desiring in our lives? Because when we desire the Word, and that's the thing I will close with saying, is that one of the greatest things that we have in terms of changing our perspective is the Word of God. God's Word helps us see things differently. And so now, you know, just because we're new creations, it doesn't mean that we don't struggle. In fact, I would say that in regeneration, we're going to struggle even more to some degree. mainly because we live in such a wicked society. And so many of the things that we did before without even thinking about, now we might even possibly struggle with. And so the fact is that all of us, if you're a born-again Christian, you have the flesh and you have the spirit. And Paul says that these two war against each other so that we do not do the things that we want to do. So it all boils down to which nature are we going to feed? And even a question tonight, if you're here, maybe you don't know that you're a new creation. You don't know that you've ever received the Lord in your life. You can be a new creation. The Bible tells us in John 5:24 that it's just a matter of believing in Jesus and what he did. Truly relying upon him and his life. But see, the truth that we come to here is that we're not reformed, we're not rehabilitated, we're not re-educated. We are recreated in Christ. So when people look at us and say, man, they must be brainwashing you at that Calvary Chapel, just say, no. I'm not being re-educated at Calvary Chapel. I've been regenerated. And I'm just feeding off the Word of God, and God is changing the way I see this world. And the way I see myself and the way I see the people around me. And so we can be people that are rejoicing in our regeneration. Even after years of knowing the Lord, it is so important for us to always go back to that simple gift of knowing the Lord. And then to remember that God is never through with us. He wants to continue to work, continue to change us, continue just to mold and shape us. And making us more like Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. But Lord, more than that, thank you that we can know who you are. And that your word is just so challenging to us, Lord. Help us, God, to have your perspective. Help us, Lord, to remember that you desire to constantly recreate us, change us. Our perspective. And we just commit our hearts to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Well, guys, this is the best part of the night. I'm just kidding, John. Your study is the best part of the night.